Jonah wants a God of karma, not grace. That's what's going on. Jonah wants a God more like him. Because if Jonah were God, Nineveh would bleed. The Assyrians would suffer. The wicked would pay. Jonah wants a God of karma, where good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you've joined us today. Now, Pastor Philip, this is an interesting observation here that Jonah has been a recipient of so much grace, but he's still saying, get him, get him. He still wants people to be hurt by God, to be punished by God.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Yeah.
So it's interesting because the story of Jonah is about two stories in parallel, right? God's loving pursuit of the Assyrians to redeem them and draw them to repentance and faith.
Yes.
And God's loving patience toward Jonah, who is not really, you know, toeing the line here. He's run away. He's rejected God for himself. He ran away. I don't want anything to do with you, God. If you're going to be merciful to my enemies, I'm out. And he runs away, and God is pursuing Jonah by grace, and he gives him more and more grace, and Jonah finally repents, and he experiences that grace for himself. Then the Ninevites respond, and then Jonah's like, this is what I was afraid of. I thought you were going to save these Ninevites, and I hate them. They're my enemies, and I have good reason to hate them. They've been brutal and mean, and they've hurt our people, and I can't believe you would forgive our enemies. And so he's mad now again at God. And what's happening is the grace that Jonah's received for himself, he's tasted that. That's real. That's working in his life, but he hasn't metabolized it all the way down yet. And so that forgiveness and grace he's received, if he really understands it, it'll go deep down into his heart, and he'll realize, I've got to be willing to love and forgive people that have hurt me, as I've been an enemy of God and he forgave me, so I need to forgive my enemies. That's the natural implication of the gospel in his life. But his self-righteousness is so deep in his muscle memory that even though he's tasted grace and experienced it at some level, it hasn't really grabbed all of his heart, all of his life. And so he, in chapter 4 of Jonah, he just switches right back to this hostility toward God. And he's mad and sideways. And what's amazing here is God is going to be so patient with him and help show him his heart and help him begin to realize the self-righteousness that still resides inside of him and how he has to deal with that. That's where we're going today.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we follow God's gracious pursuit of Jonah. Beloved, this is part one of the sermon, The Scandal of Grace.
Today we come to the fourth and final chapter in the book of Jonah. It's been quite a journey. You'll remember it began when God called Jonah to preach to Nineveh, the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, the most feared terrorist nation of the ancient world, the sworn enemies of Israel. And Jonah received his orders and then flatly disobeyed, didn't he? He ran nearly 3,000 miles in the opposite direction aboard a ship to Tarshish. And just when he thought he had gotten away on the sea, God hurled a great storm to stop him in his tracks. Jonah's response was, just throw me in the sea. Make me a sin offering to make atonement for the wrath of God. But in God's great mercy, he sent a giant fish to rescue Jonah from the watery grave, to swallow him whole. And after 3 days of misery, Jonah finally repents. His stubbornness yields, and he calls out for the mercy of God. And in response, God causes the fish to vomit him up on the shore and recommissions him to go preach against Nineveh. And this time Jonah obeys. He goes to Nineveh, cries out in judgment, and to everyone's surprise,
The whole city responds in widespread repentance, crying out to the mercy of God. And chapter 3 ends with this beautiful crescendo, verse 10, when God saw all that they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. What a magnificent moment. Revival in Nineveh, right? A marvelous display of the mercy of God. Repentance throughout the city. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. The Lord's will has been accomplished. And so when we turn the page to chapter 4, we're expecting to see Jonah standing there going, amen, bravo, standing ovation, yay God. And what we find is just the opposite, don't we? Instead of applause, we find anger. Instead of rejoicing, there's rejection. Instead of gratitude, he's griping. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, right? Yes, sir. This is a shocking ending. One of the most shocking twists, unexpected moments in all of the Bible. And yet in this moment, again, we are going to see God's unrelenting grace for undeserving people. God's unrelenting grace for undeserving people. Grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Jonah 4, the whole chapter. Today we're going to see three things. The indignation of Jonah, the instruction of the plant, and the intentions of God. The indignation of Jonah, the instruction of the plant, the intention of God. That's our plan for this morning. Would you bow your heads? Let's bow, let's pray to our Lord. Father, you give us stories like this to help us see ourselves. Father, I pray that in this moment when we gather around your word, this wouldn't be about Jonah and his problems, but that we would see our hearts, see where we've gone astray, and see your heart for this great city. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Everybody said? Amen. 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 So first of all, the indignation of Jonah, the indignation of Jonah. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, by the way, this is not a model prayer, okay? He prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That's why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore, oh Lord, please take my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. Whew. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Wow. Pause there for a moment. That's ironic, isn't it? The moment God's anger subsides is the moment that Jonah's anger erupts. Because Jonah has found God's grace to be scandalous. Literally in Hebrew, it says when it displeased him exceedingly. It was evil to him. What God did in extending mercy and grace to Nineveh was evil to Jonah. Why? Well, at one level, it's because Jonah just can't stand the Ninevites, right? I mean, after all, they're enemies, they're terrorists, they're brutal, they're evil. This is well documented by historians. The Assyrian Empire was horrible. They skinned their enemies alive. They hoisted them on pikes and left them in the desert to die. They would put fish hooks in their cheeks and haul their enemies off. These were brutal people. They were geopolitical bullies of the ancient world. And Jonah says, look, they don't deserve an ounce of mercy and grace, not after what they've done. But it goes even deeper than that, Jonah's problem here. Look at verse 2. O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. You just hear him saying, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it all along. You always do this stuff, God. Just the slightest whiff of repentance, and you're like, oh yeah, I'll give you a second chance. Why do you have to be so gracious? Why do you have to be so merciful, so slow to anger and abounding in love, eager to relent from disaster? You're a pushover, God. That's why I fled to Tarshish. I was afraid you'd do this. And sure enough, you did. I was right to run, after all. This is incredible, isn't it? Amazing. You see what he's doing? He's repenting of his repentance. He's reverting to the renegade. He's recommitting to his rebellion. He thinks he's in the right and God's in the wrong. This is a formal complaint, an accusation leveled at heaven. This is a gross miscarriage of justice, God. You're letting mercy triumph over justice, and I won't stand for it. If you're going to let those people live, just kill me now. I'd rather die than see this scandal of grace unfold. It's astonishing. Jonah just spews this acrid, corrosive, venomous hostility right in God's face. And notice his anger is directed not just at God's choice, it's directed at God's character. Jonah's mad because God is acting like himself. Jonah cannot stand who God really is. Jonah wants a God of karma, not grace. That's what's going on. Jonah wants a God more like him. Because if Jonah were God, Nineveh would bleed. The Assyrians would suffer. The wicked would pay. Jonah wants a God of karma, where good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. Karma. Jonah's like, that's what I want. That's how it ought to be. But if you, God, if you're going to be all gracious, just kill me now. I'd rather die than live in a universe where there's unrelenting grace for undeserving people. It's amazing, isn't it? How quickly Jonah forgot just how undeserving a person he is, isn't it? It's amazing. It's just been days since the whale and all of that. It's remarkable how soon Jonah forgets that he owes his very life to the unrelenting grace of God. See, what's happened here is Jonah has tasted grace, just enough of it, to know it's beautiful, but not enough that it has swept him up. He has not fully realized that God's salvation is always by grace alone from beginning to end. Jonah still thinks he has a moral leg up on the Ninevites. He thinks he deserves the mercy and grace of God because he's been relatively good. And the Ninevites don't deserve the mercy and grace of God because they've been relatively bad. And Jonah has not yet fully realized that all of his righteousness is but filthy rags before a holy God, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that there is no one righteous, no, not one. Both Jonah and the Ninevites stand morally bankrupt before God. They're utterly undeserving of his mercy and grace. And for Jonah and the Ninevites, their only hope lies in the grace of God, doesn't it? It's their only hope. Friends, grace is our only hope. Grace is our only hope. When it comes to God, no amount of goodness will ever get us in. And no amount of badness can ever keep us out. Because as Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that nobody gets to boast. Friends, grace is our only hope. The good news of the gospel is that though we are far more sinful than we ever dared realize, in Jesus Christ, we are far more loved than we ever dared hope. And if the world runs on karma, we are all doomed. But thank God, this world is full of His grace, His relentless grace. And notice, it's God's grace again that pursues Jonah, doesn't it? Do you do well to be angry? What is that question? It's grace. It's a gracious question. What do we expect of a guy who's mouthed off to God like this? Like God is just like zap, and there's a little greasy spot where he was standing, right? I mean, like, that's what we would expect, but not our God. Our God is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love. He's quick to relent from disaster. And he says, do you do well to be angry? What a beautiful question. He gives more grace. Amen? He gives more grace.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you've joined us today as we discover the ways God's grace actually reveals our hearts. Now, that question, do you do well to be angry? What a great question that is, and one for our own self-examination, I think, Pastor Philip.
Yeah, I mean, just think of the things that God could have said instead. He could have said, now, you don't talk to me like that, and you stop mouthing off, and you sit down, and I'm going to put you in your... Like, he could have come down hard on Jonah, but he asks a diagnostic question. It's almost like you can imagine Jonah there on the therapist couch, you know, do you do well to do angry? You know, it's kind of that image. Here he is, and it's like a therapy question, right? What is he doing? God's saying... He's asking Jonah to do self-reflection. Don't just react. Don't just spout off. Where is this coming from, Jonah? Is this appropriate? Are these emotions befitting of the situation? Is this how you ought to be feeling about the situation? So in other words, it's a prying, curiosity-laden, self-reflective question. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think it's exactly what we all need when we're hot, when we're angry, when we're sideways, when there's lots of emotions running hot, you know, hot in our lives, and we're either worried or stressed or angry or bitter, or we're unforgiving or whatever it is. When we have big emotions in our lives, there's wisdom in sitting down and saying, okay, is it well for me to be doing this? Where are these emotions coming from? What are they showing me about my heart and what I actually love and what's most important to me? Because what Jonah's supposed to do here is he's supposed to reflect. Now, he doesn't do a lot of that in the text, but what he's supposed to do is start reflecting and realize, I'm really, really angry right now because I think the Ninevites don't actually deserve forgiveness. But I myself have received lots of forgiveness from God. I ran away.
Recently,
just days ago. And now here I am, and I've received great mercy and grace from God, who's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and you know, all of this. But now I'm not allowing that same thing to be extended to people that have hurt me. And he's supposed to start reflecting on that. Where is that coming from? What are the idols I have in my life that are keeping me from actually allowing God to do what God wants to do? Why am I sideways with God right now? Why am I mad at the character of God right now? Where am I off? You know, that's what he's supposed to do. And God is so patient. He gives him time to process. That's what the plant's about. That's what this whole thing is about. It gives him space to calm down, to get his head straight, to actually regulate a little bit, to have some self-reflection, to do the heart work, to begin to understand the implications of grace for his life. That's what's going on.
Everybody has those emotions, though, Pastor Philip, where they just boil over. What's in our heart comes out, and we then turn it on somebody else. So Jonah's showing us a little bit of us today, too, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, yeah, if all of our emotions are connected to what we love, ultimately. And so if it's our pride, our image, we think we deserve respect. We, we're the idols we cling to. Like, all of those things will start generating big emotions in our lives. And yeah, that's the principle here, is do the heart work of trying to get underneath that. That's what God's doing for Jonah. That's what we need when we have these kind of big emotions as well.
Yeah. This issue of self-righteousness, I'm better than everybody else around me, so that must make me okay. Again, I can't speak for all of our listeners, but for those who want to be honest today, I think I'm speaking for a lot of them.
Yeah.
This is a temptation that we all have to kind of push against.
It's a sneaky thing when we think, God, I deserve God's grace because I'm relatively good, but other people do not deserve God's grace because they're relatively bad. What that reflects on the inside is that we're still, at some level, trying to maintain partial credit for our salvation before God. Mm. So in other words, his grace supplements the relative goodness in my life. So my goodness gets me halfway, mm-hmm. and then his grace covers the gap. And I deserve it because I've been relatively good. See, we want partial credit.
Yeah.
In other words, we're trying to be righteous and offer not perfect righteousness, but partial righteousness to God to try to impress him, to try to earn his favor. And that's not how grace works. That's not how the gospel works. There's no one righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no one stands on their own merit. Jesus is the only one who is righteous. And so if his grace is sufficient, it covers all of us. And if it covers all of us, then I can't withhold grace from others, because if God wants to save them, regardless of how much they may have hurt me, his grace is sufficient. And that makes me deal with my heart. And it's hard. It's hard to learn to love our enemies. But when we were enemies, Christ loved us.
That's right.
And so if he loved us as enemies, then we can learn to start loving our enemies as we ourselves have been loved in Christ Jesus. And that's the gospel logic. Mm. And that's what Jonah has to learn here, is that his enemies receive the same kind of grace he has received when he was an enemy of God. They're actually, he and the Ninevites have far more in common than Jonah wants to admit. Mm-hmm. And that self-righteousness in his life has got to die for him to really understand the grace of God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, be encouraged today, beloved. God's grace is truly amazing. It saved a wretch like me. In Jonah's story, God used a storm and a plant to expose the self-righteousness hiding in the prophet's heart. He does the same for us because he loves us. In the book, Dory, The Girl Nobody Loved, we see how Dory experienced God's unrelenting grace in this compelling autobiography. Grace doesn't just cover our mess. It uncovers our need for God so that we can truly be mended. Now, beloved, this is the last week to get your copy of Dory, The Girl Nobody Loved, for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us, Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. You know, when grace exposes our hearts, it doesn't leave us empty. It, in fact, fills us with his presence. And next time, we'll see how that same grace clears our vision and helps us see everything with God's eyes. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.